5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Wendy Bell. Inspiring solutions to save America. One show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
They believe that they can destroy this bond that exists between you and Trump if they somehow make Trump look bad, make Trump look like a reprobate, embarrass you about Trump. They can't do it because you came before Trump. Desperately want Trump gone, and I know that they desperately want it codified that Trump cannot run again, because make no mistake, they remain scared to death of you, and they remain scared to death of Trump. Trump, 75 million, 80 million votes. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going anywhere. Even if Trump does, you're not. Which I think remains one of our big campaign strengths going forward. They can't separate you from Trump. And more importantly, they can't separate you from the ideas. They can't separate you from MAGA. They can't separate you from Make America Great Again.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio Program on the clock. And I will direct you guys to our podcast. It's so nice. It's so well done. We have this fantastic producer. Bob Sloan cuts everything down for you. It's about 40 minutes. The hour is boiled down to 40 minutes. And we put it up every day. Wendy Bell Radio, 2 million people have already downloaded this onto their phones. So thank you so very much. Hope you get it as well. And like, share, give us a 5-star review. The disrespect, the disregard is deafening. I don't think you need me as your Julie McCoy to be the cruise director through the you know, ocean of suck from last night. But when I saw this morning that there was a gold star father in the audience whose son was one of the 13 Marines who was blown up at Abbey Gate in Afghanistan during Joe Biden's just ridiculous, just he pulled out of Afghanistan the way they handled the train derailment in Ohio with every bad decision and maximum collateral damage possible. I mean, you guys remember that giant tanker that was up in the air? I don't even know what it was. Was it a C-135? I don't know. It was giant up in the air, and Afghanis were holding onto the wings and holding on and falling to their deaths. Like, do you remember that? It's exactly the analogy of this administration and the damage that they have done to our country. But I want to tell you what happened. So Joe Biden, if you haven't watched it, I didn't watch it. I've read about it. Okay, I'll be honest with you. I can't listen to the man. I can't do it. I'm not going to make you do it. You know, he gets up and he's talking about in America, it's so much safer and more secure now that I'm here. I mean, it's idiotic. And so New York Post headline, Gold Star Dad arrested after heckling Joe Biden during the State of the Union. Now, I'm not so sure I would call it heckling any more than I would think it's heckling that Marjorie Taylor Greene said to Joe Biden, say her name. Say her name. Do you know it? In the ambivalence of Joe watching his watch, the transfer of the bodies. I mean, can you imagine being that father whose son was killed, whose country didn't care, whose president was preoccupied with the passage of time? To stand up there and say that all is well, remain calm, when you have that empty chair at your kitchen table Here's the story. The heckler who shouted at President Biden during his State of the Union address Thursday night was identified as the father of a fallen Marine and was later arrested over the disruption. America is safer today than it was when I took office, Biden said. He was in the middle of saying before he was interrupted from the chamber's balcony. Abby Gate, Steve Nakui, yelled down at the president, 2nd Battalion, 1st Marines. Capitol Police escorted Nakui out of the chamber around 10:15 p.m. and took him into custody. I want you just to think about that. In the 5 million ways that you could handle that, if Joe Biden was authentic, alert, aware, he could have stopped and he could have said, excuse me. And Mr. Nakui could have said, my son was killed at Abbey Gate in Afghanistan. Don't forget him. And Joe Biden could have said, you are right. You are right. He could have done a million things. And instead, Capitol Police came, dragged him out, charged him, arrested him. And that man now faces 5 years in prison. Jamal Bowman can pull a fire alarm, force the evacuation of the entire Capitol complex, delay a pivotal vote, which was the whole reason for said yanking, lie about it, point fingers at other people about it, sheepishly admit it, and get away with it. You know what it reminded me of? Well, let's listen to the sound. This is the father who will never get his son to hold again, and this is what he said. Go.
All Americans deserve the freedom to be safe, and America is safer today than when I took office. Year before I took office, murder rates went up 30%. 30% they went up. The biggest increase in history. It was then. Through my American Rescue Plan, which every American voted against, I might add.
Mr. Nakui was charged with obstructing, or delaying Congress. A misdemeanor that typically results in the offender's release after paying a $50 fine. Of course, his son, Lance Corporal Kareem Nakui, was killed by a suicide bomber outside Kabul's international airport while trying to process evacuees. Among the other 12, I should say before we proceed, that man being arrested and charged, such a disgrace, such a slap in the face, such an F you to the military, such an I don't care about you, reminded me of this. Remember Scott Smith, the father whose daughter was raped by a transgender dude in the high school bathroom, whose high school lied about it? Yeah, that's how it made me feel. We're going to hurt your kids. We're going to lie to you. You might even lose them, but don't you dare get in our way. And if you speak out about it because we refuse to, we will arrest you. We will embarrass you. And we will drag you off. Does that sound like your America? How about this? How about CNN's Abby Phillip? She's got a gold star mom on. Her name is Christy Shamblin. Her daughter-in-law was Nicole Gee, a Marine sergeant, also along with the other 12, along with Kareem Nakui. And Abby Phillip, she hasn't even done her homework. She just presumes that Joe Biden, being this wonderful man that he is, reached out to this Gold Star mom and said, "I'm so sorry for your loss, ma'am." She certainly was not expecting this.
President Biden, he's often called the consoler in chief. He does talk to families who have lost loved ones because of his own experiences. Have you experienced that from him as you've been coping with the death of Nicole?
No.
Have you spoken to him?
No, he has not reached out to our family. We've actually reached out to the White House and have never heard back. We asked to meet with them to kind of understand where their thinking was in calling this a success, and we've not received a response. It's been months. No, that's not been our experience at all.
Sorry to hear that.
How is she even vertical? How is she sitting there pleasant? How is she so measured? And Abby Phillip. This woman doesn't have a clue in the world what she's talking about. Joe Biden, the consoler in chief. Abby, sister, get your head out of your butt, girl. You have absolutely no idea about what you speak. You are insulting, and your ignorance is on display. These people do not care. And every single day, they prove it. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, a few random acts of journalism for you. Just a few. But I've got them, to be fair. Next. You know, part of, I think, being a human being, being different than the animal kingdom, is this ability to empathize, to put yourself into someone else's position. And I think a lot of people don't do that because of the residual effects, how it makes you feel. When you consider being a parent who walks into a bedroom and finds their child's lifeless body, you open a door that can haunt you, that can creep into what you're doing and remind you what it's all about. That ability to empathize with total strangers makes us the loudest champions of every underdog out there. You want to see the story of the person who is punished and ridiculed and beaten. You want to see Rocky get back up. You see the blows. You see the blood in slow motion come out of his mouth. You see his eyes swollen shut. You see him beaten. All you want is for him to push himself up off the mat. Get up. Get up. Because in every underdog or everyone who's taking a beating, there is a piece of you. We root for them. We root for these people. I take them with me after this program. That is what we do. I want you to hear two brief audio sound bites. Look, I could get into everything I feel about this father being arrested. Because you know what the classy, humane, moral, good human being instinct is for anybody at that Capitol complex? You let that man go. You let that man go. And you apologize. But that's not the world in which we live. In these audio sound bites, CNN's John King is going to say the quiet, truthful part, which is unusual. He was a little unusual yesterday as we played him at the big monitor talking about, You know, in CNN's polling from 2020, none of the polls ever showed Donald Trump ahead of Joe Biden. However, now with months and months to go, every poll shows Donald Trump not just with a lead, but with a commanding lead. He was almost somber. He was sober in that delivery. He said this speech yesterday, there was nothing about it that was State of the Union. It was political from Alpha to Omega. Listen.
This is the 36th of these for me, State of the Unions or presidential addresses at the beginning, first one being 1989. Never heard one so political. Never heard one that is such a campaign speech.
100% correct. The anger and the ire, it goes back to that speech he gave with the red lights on the drapes where he looked like Adolf Hitler. With the fury of the Fuhrer. That was his face. That was his fists. Is that what you want? Of course not. CNN also has a political correspondent. His name is Scott Jennings. I don't know who allowed him out of the dungeon to say these sorts of things, but this was a refreshing, honest take on what he heard last night. Go.
He talked about Snickers and snack chips before he ever got to the border. He was obsessed with his political rival more than he was obsessed with the condition of the American people. It was so weird. This guy lectures us all on unity, the soul of the nation, and he gives the most partisan convention speech in place of a State of the Union that I've ever heard. It's the literal opposite of unity. It's so partisan. He's obsessed with taunting Republicans. It's not statesmanlike.
It's not. It's deranged. It is compulsive. It is predictable. It is never ending. And the shame of it all is the State of the Union should be about a message to each of us. It should be about hope. I mean, leadership is about courage. It's about leading by example. It's about standing up and being at the front of the battle, not back at the caboose watching the carnage. It is about carrying the flag, holding the torch, running as fast as you can. And when somebody tells you you can't do anymore, to go further to the point where you can't even imagine what you're capable of. That was not last night. And if the goal of last night was for the Democrats to make some kind of a pitch to people who are undecided, how could there be such a person in these United States? How could you not know? How was your life 3 years ago? How is your life today? How is your neighborhood? How are your finances? How is your look for tomorrow? How is your outlook for your retirement? What does your heart tell you? Coming up next on the Wendy Bell Radio program, you know, they've already crowned Donald Trump king of 2024, which is why they're scrambling to chip away at him already. The kings of the deranged? Next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. So we've gotten to the point of this, let's just say it's kind of an emotional roller coaster, right? It's sort of like that cycle. It's like the cycle of anything, you know, it starts out one way and then it gets this way, then it reverts back down to the original, you know, we're on a cycle. And my cycle in looking at how the media is presenting the reality of life in America, and then as a consequence, life around the world, I've passed the outrage. I've gotten off of that, and now it is an intrinsic curiosity to hear how long these voices of nonsense will continue to lie and sugarcoat or propagandize and do so in broad daylight with live TV cameras on them, and to do so brazenly. And so I'm left with one question. Do they know that they have been brainwashed? Do they know that they are deranged, triggered, that if your focus, if you wake up angry because of one person, because of Donald Trump, that you have given that individual power over you to suck the joy out of your life, which is why I think so many Democrats look angry and mean. It just absolutely robs you of the spirit of joy. And I think it's palpable. I think it's visible. I think you can hear it. I think it's diagnosable. I don't think it's debatable. And it's really encapsulated in one woman on MSNBC. And her name is Nicole Wallace. She is the epitome of your white college-educated liberal woman who sucks. Who sucks the life out of her husband, right? With the activism and the anger and the nonsense. She's the person who drags down the school district with endless meddling and getting involved in things that needn't be involved with, right? She drags down the community, the vibe of the neighborhood with that activism. It's just, it's ugly. She's the person who would walk by your American flag or your sign in your yard that said Trump or MAGA or We Back the Blue or I Love the Military or North is Still North or whatever it is with disdain. And then would be perfectly cool if her teenage daughter came over and defaced it or stole it. That would be fine. That is a logical, that is the kind of human being I'm speaking of. And in this instance, it is enveloped in one woman, and it's Nicole Wallace from MSNBC. And you're going to hear it. It is very diagnosable and it's obvious. So we've got a series of audio sound bites and she's talking about, and she's angry that Donald Trump is seen as strong, as a leader, as vigorous, as focused, as unbeatable, as unbroken, as Rocky, getting up everything they throw. His mouthpiece might fly out with blood and sweat and spit, but he's back in the ring and she cannot stand it. And all she can say is Donald Trump for some reason is a madman. And Joe Biden is the guy we need to get behind. Listen to the predicate, and then we'll follow it.
This also gets down to who's in control of the race. Donald Trump isn't in control of himself, not what he tweets, not what he truths, not what he says. So Donald Trump's going to be what Donald Trump's going to be. Not a lot of no self-regulation, no ideas, no agenda. They'll just be tactics, each one more audacious than the other. The only person in charge of his destiny is Joe Biden.
She's controlled by him. Controlled. He owns her. Donald Trump, without ever talking to her, without having a conversation with her, who's whatever, he owns her. And that's the joy I take out of sharing this with you, because it's crazy and it's becoming more and more crazy. So in audio soundbite two, she says, you know, people think he's strong. Trump is. And then she drops some weird analogy. It's derangement. Go.
And I suggested last time Charlie was here that he roll out a constitutional amendment capping the maximum age. Constitution speaks to youth. It doesn't speak to age because people didn't live that long. He can take control of the age issue if he wants to. He can take control of what you said in the break. And I don't know if you want to say it on TV, but this idea of people think Trump is strong. I mean, people think axe murderers have a lot of arm strength, too, but they still do a tremendous amount of bloody damage.
I don't even know what that is. This is the degree of, I believe, a diagnosable mental illness about it. It's not funny. I'm not mocking her. It's sad and it's pitiful. And then Claire McCaskill, who likes to play the part of the kindly grandmother with, you know, the tulips in the vase when she's on a Zoom call with MSNBC in her kitchen, is just as bad. And it's really quite remarkable. It is about, she's trying to tell you here that Donald Trump just doesn't, he only cares about Donald Trump. See, Joe Biden, like Barack Obama, they revered, they loved the sanctity of the office. It was statesmanlike. It was grand. And I'm like, where are you, sister? Listen to this.
And the idea of portraying yourself as strong is about the fights you pick and the way you wage them.
And if Biden, here's where Biden, and frankly, President Obama had a little bit of the same problem sometimes. He was so conscious of the office. Mm-hmm. And what went with it.
Which is a beautiful problem.
the office. They don't want to do anything that would tarnish how the office is perceived by the American people.
Oh, they wouldn't want to do anything like allow their, you know, druggy son in to leave baggies of cocaine everywhere, right? They wouldn't want to wiretap the White House or do anything to smear that. We wouldn't want to plant information or make up stuff, right? We wouldn't want to do that. We wouldn't want to smear the office by selling access to it by the highest bidder, even if they are our enemies. We wouldn't want to do that. We wouldn't want to leave classified documents all over the place, right? And allow who knows what and God knows where to have access to it. We would never want to tarnish that. They revere it. Praise Jesus, right? Where are these people from? This is sad, and it gets worse. There is a pettiness that is particular among the women on the left, which is just such a distasteful yuck. And it's this this snitty, snooty, holier-than-thou swing, an attempt to demean and degrade that comes off as, I'm still in elementary school and I still don't know how to express myself. Listen.
Biden's got a different problem than Obama had. The guy that was here before trashed it. He had political rallies on the lawn.
He had his convention at the White House.
You know, it was crazy the way he politicized everything, the norms that were blown up, and bringing people in and, showing them things they shouldn't have seen in terms of foreign leaders.
The norms that were blown up. She's specifically saying Donald Trump disrupted the establishment. He came in and he opened up the White House as the people's house. The people's house wasn't the state, wasn't the U.S. Capitol. The people's house was 1600 Pennsylvania. That's what it is. And he said, come here. Walk in these halls. You paid for this. This is yours. I represent you. And they cannot stand that. But that is the connection. It is the authenticity. It is heartbeat to heartbeat, right? Think about how you hug people. Whether you go over their shoulders or you do a diagonal, your heart is against their heart. It is the connection. They don't understand that connection. Not just Trump to Americans, right? But it's you and it's me and it's our connection to the country. You can feel it. You can't describe it. But you can feel it. They don't understand that. They are two-dimensional. You're living color. You're a full image ultrasound. They have parameters. There is no traveling deeper. That's it. And finally, she says this. Claire McCaskill. This is petty on high. And this is where we go back to Katie Britt saying America can do better. Go.
So Biden can't treat Trump like he's normal. Biden has to treat him like he is somebody that he's in a street fight with. And that doesn't come naturally to Joe Biden. Joe Biden, I mean, how long did he go without saying Trump's name? Now, he's gotten over that. Yeah. He's gotten over that. Yeah. But he's got to take it to the next level. He needs to be on his front foot. He needs to be the aggressor. He needs to say absolutely not, no briefings. As long as you're under indictment for violating the secrets of this country, you do not get briefings. If you don't like it, pound sand.
I love that, pound sand.
And there's some back on the beach by your multi-million dollar, gold-gilted golf club.
There's also some by your multiple homes where you've spent 40% of your time on vacation. See, in the Democrats' view of this, it's all about Trump. in Trump's view of this, and in MAGA's view of this, it is all about America. It's not about one person. It is about the message. It is about the mission. And all are welcome who are ready to demand better. It is not exclusive. There is no membership parameter. You just have to love America. It's not complicated. When we come back from this break, because I went a little long, I want you to hear Nicole Wallace is talking to John Brennan, who is just such a dirty, dark, shadowy figure in all of the last several years of suck. And they say something that is alarming about what is going to happen after Donald Trump accepts the GOP nomination for President of the United States. Listen carefully when we come back next on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. I have to get the whoa-whoas in. You know that. Okay, so this is Nicole Wallace, MSNBC. She's sitting down with former CIA Director John Brennan. And this is how petty and disgusting these people are. The walls are closing in. They know they're dirty. Brennan does, for a fact, because he's got his fingerprints all over Americans suck. And they're gonna. He says once Trump takes the nod, once Trump takes the nomination and goes with it, they're going to not share with him critical information because he can't be trusted with it. Listen.
I have to start with the news today with you, Director Brennan, that some version of our intelligence analysis will, there's a plan for Trump to start getting that while he's under criminal prosecution for mishandling classified documents. Will you explain what this is and what you think is likely to happen?
Anna Nicole, it's somewhat surreal that an individual who is under indictment for mishandling classified information is going to be getting classified intelligence briefings. But this traditionally is provided to the candidates for president by the sitting president. And so therefore, I think it makes sense for the Biden administration to offer that to Donald Trump. Now, I'm pretty certain that my former intelligence colleagues will provide briefings that are not going to do any type of damage to sources and methods in terms of providing information to Donald Trump that he could misuse. But they will provide analytic overviews and briefings about some of the world's hotspots, letting Donald Trump know what the assessments are at this point. So I think it's going to be analysis that will be devoid of the sources and methods, the sensitive things that we are most concerned about, the types of things that were in all those documents that he had in the bathroom and other areas in Mar-a-Lago.
Wow.
But I do think it makes
sense.
Now, it's the question about whether or not Donald Trump will accept the briefings. And I'm sure that if he does accept them, he probably will disparage them as he has disparaged U.S. intelligence officers as well as U.S. intelligence itself for so long over so many years.
Now, that doesn't really even, it's not worthy of me to eviscerate that man because we could do it very easily. The classified documents, really, that's where you want to go with this. They are so annoyed. They are so upset that Donald Trump is going to again interrupt the overall plan. He's not in on it. He is not corruptible. He does not have a price. He is not purchasable. There is nothing they can give him that he doesn't already have. He's not in it for the fame. He's not in it for the money. He's in it for America. That is the difference. And when you listen closely to people like Andrea Mitchell on MSNBC, I want you to hear the asleep at the wheel, lack of enthusiasm fossil as she tries to stay relevant in an irrelevant industry that has lied to us far too long. Listen to the question.
Big picture, zoom out for us on what's at stake for him tonight. You point to FDR's For Freedom speech in 1941. Obviously, wartime, a bigger challenge. But let's talk about the challenges tonight.
Wow, who wouldn't want to turn in for that? Right? It's so exciting. It's focused. It's crisp. You feel connected. She's talking right to you. She's committed. No, she's not. She's an establishment hack. They all are. This guy she's talking to, the Steve Beschloss, whatever the hell his name is. He's allegedly a presidential historian. He's been in the Kool-Aid factory a little bit too long, and he's been snorting it. So he's going to tell you in two audio sound bites here that if Donald Trump wins, oh boy, pants on fire, sky's going to fall. My goodness, go.
Well, this is a real historical moment. We could be a dictatorship next year if Donald Trump is elected and carries through on his threats and carries through on his threats to suspend the Constitution. That's what's at stake.
Do you know what his threat is? My revenge. My revenge will be success. Oh, my gosh. Did you hear that? Damn well better be scared. And then he continues, this guy who has clearly sold his soul to whomever will pay the highest price, Mr. Presidential Historian. Can't you imagine the crap history this clown would write? Can you imagine? He's not done yet. Americans, beware. This is a threat to democracy. Listen.
So Joe Biden could finesse it and talk about other things. Or he could confront the elephant in the room and say, you know, this is a year when we Americans have to choose whether we're going to live as a democracy, as a republic, or as an authoritarian system. That's what FDR was doing in 1941. Nazis, fascists, Imperial Japanese were rampaging around the world. And he said, you Americans have to choose. And also, for you Americans who think that we need to be fascist at home to compete with other fascist governments, which a lot of people were saying, he said, we need these four freedoms. Freedom from want and fear, freedom of speech and religion.
Yeah, freedom of your government and the CIA that goes overseas and meddles in other people's business and starts foreign wars and has since probably 1948. Is that what you're talking about, my man? The threat to democracy. Okay, so we have to play these snippets for you because this is the smorgasbord, right? This is the cafeteria offering. We're going to give you all of this slop, right? No matter which one you choose and slather and onto your plate, it's all going to taste like poo. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where you flick around, what station, it's all the same end result. It all looks the same. They believe that they are in charge. They must stay in charge. They know what's right. They are always right. You are a plebe. You don't matter. And if you suffer or die, or someone you know does, well, so be it. A choice is clear. And they know it. All right, so this tyranny, the war and all the tyranny that they warn about, it's already here. And you're going to hear all the examples of it from our national security expert, John Guandolo, next.